Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Indeed you are, and it's Cinco de Mayo.
That's what happens when you throw the mayonnaise overboard. You Cinco de Mayo.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, man, exactly. That was a long walk
really?
For the store to
but
be
But you
closed,
know what?
Huh?
Nobody's acknowledging it. I mean, right? What's
Cinco de Mayo? I felt no need to acknowledge that.
No. He means the holiday, not the joke.
The holiday.
Well, today's actually my anniversary.
Oh, yes, I saw it. On Libro di Faccia.
Yes.
We speak nothing but Italian.
Book of face. Yeah, we're going to speak only in Italian for today's show.
Wouldn't that be nice?
15 years. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very
Let's
much.
Let's throw some applause your way.
Yeah.
Thank you. 15 years.
Yes.
Of wedded bliss.
And your husband has a very interesting first name.
Hutch.
Yes.
Hutchins Foster.
Yes. That's unusual.
That's not a real
it's
name.
It's Waspy.
Hutchins
it is Foster. Totally that's, Waspy.
That's
his full name is Richard Hutchins Foster Jr.
That's a 40s gumshoe name.
Didn't he used to have a TV series?
Hello there, Hutch Foster here.
Hutch Foster here.
Telegraph for Mr. Hutch Foster.
The second to last show for me, Michael.
I know that.
I got this show.
After almost
I got,
6 years.
And I got next week, and then I'm out of here.
Yes.
And the lovely and talented Andrew Michael James will be here.
Andrew David James.
Yes.
It's see okay.
How much? Andrew Michael James. Andrew Michael Hall. Let's thank our sponsors, shall we?
Indeed, we shall. We'd like to thank our sponsor.
It's always good to get the host's name right.
Yes, exactly. You know? Right. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit breakdownexpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Are we ever. We like that Mike Napoli over there.
He's a nice guy.
Yes,
and another paisan.
Yes.
A lot of Italians.
Yeah. I had lunch with him, actually.
Did you?
Week. Yes.
Oh. Did you tell him I said hi?
I did.
Oh,
I
good.
Told him everything about you, what was going on, and he didn't like some of it, but,
well,
you know.
Few people do.
The Boy from Oz was a huge Australian success that not only found its way to Broadway, but was nominated for 5 Tony Awards in 2004, including Best Musical and Best Actor in a Musical for its star, Hugh Jackman. The musical focuses on the extraordinary life of legendary singer-songwriter Peter Allen, from his birth in 1944 and humble beginnings to his meteoric rise to fame as an international star. The story covers Peter's life and career in Australia and the United States, as well as his relationships with the legendary Judy Garland and Liza Minnelli.
Celebration Theater at the Lex, in association with Nicholas Caprio, another paisan, Michael Z. You got to help me with this one.
Chris Falusi.
Crick Falusi?
Chris Falusi.
Chris Falusi. Chris Falusi.
Yeah.
Chris Falusi. See? Word has lost all meaning. Todd Milner and Jack Morrissey presents, under the artistic director of Michael Matthews and Michael A. Shepard, is delighted to present the West Coast premiere of The Boy from Oz, with music and lyrics by Peter Allen, book by Martin Sherman, and original book by Nick Enright. We're in the land of Oz today, as we are joined by no less than three of the talents responsible for this smash hit production. On the phone shortly, we'll be joined by Jessica Pennington. And right here in studio, please welcome Andrew Bongiorno and Michael Shepard with both of us.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Jessica will be with us in a moment. We're attempting to contact. We're contacting her telephonically with this extensive staff we have here.
Exactly.
And all these minions
all the
working, handling this technology mm-hmm. for us. But mm-hmm. I spoke to her briefly. She's a lovely woman. And I saw her photo. She's lovely physically as well as spiritually. A lovely person.
You know that about spiritual
people? I do.
I have photo just kind of
just that
spoke
good
to you like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you see our Facebook badge today?
I did.
Very attractive.
I did.
Group
it was
of
very
there.
Attractive.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
How was your week, Mike?
You know, it was terrific. A couple of things. You know, I had great shows at the nightclub, and we'll talk about something that I'm doing there later on. But I was telling Andrew here that I went to the an invitational preview of something called Short and Sweet, which is a 10-minute play program that comes from Australia and is making its debut here in Angeles in June. And it was literally a sneak peek at four of the 10-minute plays that they're producing. And you remember our friend Nick Hardcastle.
Yeah.
With the Australian Theatre Company. Yeah. Nick is involved with that, too, and that company.
That's when you went to, like, that consulate or something.
Sent their consul general, again, the lovely woman that she is, to this event. And it was just sweet. I mean, you know, they know how to do it right. They're serving cocktails in the audience as
It's oddly named. It's short and sweet.
But some dynamic work from
the like one act? Just one act?
10 minutes. Yeah. 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Yeah, that's it. So it was about 10 pages of dialogue, I think, is how they judged that. So.
And four together in one piece? Yeah. Are they like
No, completely different. Written by different people, performed by different people.
No, gotcha. But are they like thematically linked? Is there
not
like,
at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. And super clever, super interesting.
Wow. Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah.
Because you know me, I have the attention span of a
Naft.
Ferret being force-fed Frappuccinos.
Good Lord.
The ideal for you.
Let's not keep Jessica waiting.
No, let's not. We got a lot of people to talk to today. Give her her intro that she is so due.
I will do that happily. So our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, her theater credits include Into the Woods, Cabaret, for which she received a Garland Award in the role of Sally Bowles, Picasso at the Lapin Agile. Is that how you say that?
Lapin Agile.
Oh, my God. I screwed that up, didn't I? Lapin Agile. As You Like It, she played Rosalind. See Bob Run and Winds of Angkor, to name a few. She is the lead singer for the Undercover Girls and a graduate of Carnegie Mellon. Pretty swanky there. She calls this role a big X on her bucket list. Please welcome the lovely and talented Jessica Pennington.
Jessica! She's there.
Thank you for that intro.
Hey!
You're welcome.
How are you, Jessica? Thanks for joining us.
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
We're very happy to have you here. I got to hit the ground running here and ask you something. Okay. So you play Liza. You're playing Liza Minnelli in this. And yet you previously got incredible accolades for playing Sally Bowles in Cabaret. Obviously you're adept at the Liza portrayal. How'd you make Sally your own? Did you know you were that skilled at being Liza back when you played Sally?
Well, admittedly, I've been told for as long as I can remember that I do resemble Miss Minnelli.
Okay.
But as far as Sally was concerned, I just went to the script. The Sally in the movie that Liza played is actually much, much different than the Sally that is in the musical. So she's based on a character from a play called I Am a Camera.
Right.
I went from that. I went from the source material.
Okay. Now, because if I'm right, I am a camera character is significantly darker than what Liza did. Was that right?
Yes. Liza's Sally was American and far more interested in being a movie star.
Oh, gotcha.
Our Sally in I Am a Camera and the original, you know, late 1960s version of Cabaret is simply trying to get through the day.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, I don't want to spend this time that we have talking about shows you did before this one, because this is the one that we're talking about. But I have not seen the production yet. I don't know, Michael, you haven't seen it yet.
Not yet.
But we are reading the reviews, and it just sounds like you're having an absolute blast. Is it? And you called it a bucket list role for you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to play Liza Minnelli, I mean, either I'm completely out of my mind or completely out of my mind. She comes with such a huge fan base, such loyal people, that you're either going to find the humanity of the woman or, you know, not do the imitation. So it's been tough, but I got to tell you, we have an incredible production team led by Michael Shepard. He is an absolute dream come true to work with.
Well, he's
our
okay.
Star,
yeah, he's okay.
Andrew.
I'm dreaming.
He's okay.
It's his anniversary today.
Yes, I
know. She was at the wedding.
Happy anniversary, Michael.
Thank you.
Jessica, and I'm going to ask this question of Andrew as well later in the show, but how do you do a role like that, and as Andrew's doing Peter Allen, these characters that are so, I mean, larger than life on a slow day, and how do you do that in a 55-seat venue without actually pinning the back row's head to the back wall of the theater? How do you sort of maintain that? I mean, you have to be aware of the space and your audience. Is it a conscious sort of edit on your part, or do you just go full tilt boogie every night?
Well, Michael Shepard gave us the best advice that I think any director can in this kind of situation, is we play the truth. We all aim to play the truth. And I'm so grateful to be playing with someone like Andrew, because he's absolute, I mean, he plays the humanity of Peter, and that is my goal of playing Liza's humanity. So if you can play the truth, and like you said, and be larger than life, then maybe you can find your way.
Yeah, because actually that's true. I never really thought about it. Just because someone is, you know, larger than life, if that's their personal truth, then there's nothing false about it. It's not like aggrandizing or like me. I'm so magnetic. I'm kidding.
You really play yourself really well, too.
I do. Yeah. Do.
Try.
Jessica, have you ever met Liza Minnelli?
I have not. I actually stalked her at a rehearsal space.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that?
And I just wanted to see what she was. And I found out that basically we're the exact same size, and our body types are quite alike. So that was very interesting to find out.
Was that deliberate?
Did you deliberately? Stalking of her? Yes.
No. Your body size, your exact same size. Was that deliberate?
Put the lotion in the skin.
You'll have to talk to her, you know, her genetics and my genetics. We just happen to come out, you know, just under 5'4".
You know, what are the odds that you would be so great at performing someone that you can't now legally be within 500 feet of? I mean...
Exactly.
You know, I must say, I have a supper club here, Andrew, that... these fellows know about. It's called Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, which is a venue in the NoHo Arts District of North Hollywood.
It's a beautiful venue. It's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I had the pleasure of having Liza perform in my club in a Christmas show that was being headlined by Cortez Alexander.
This is Liza Dershowitz. I just want to clear that up.
Yeah,
it wasn't,
Minnelli,
though, was it?
She was awesome.
But as the producer of the club, of course, you know, I was totally taking care of her all evening, and everything about that evening pulled together all of the things that you're saying right now, and your fascination with her, and certainly all of our fascination with her, because she is like no one else, she's a very special human being. Good, bad, or indifferent, but she is certainly worthy of everyone's rhetoric
truly.
And attention.
And she's really paid her dues. I mean, I say this all the time, but she's really done her 10,000 hours.
Yes, she has.
She pretty much did them before she was 21.
Yeah.
I mean, her work ethic's extraordinary.
You meet someone like that, and it's sort of like, for me, it would be like meeting Jagger or Tom Waits or Leonard Cohen or someone like that, where it's just like there's such esteem and so ridiculously famous that you don't feel like you're meeting an actual person because you have such a lengthy history. We're going to move on, Jessica, but I do want to, before we sign off with you, I got to ask you something real quick. Give a little plug to Undercover Girls. What's that about? And could that potentially be playing at Sterling's Upstairs sometime soon?
Well, we're a classic rock cover band. We're all women. We do everything from Rick Springfield to Nirvana.
Awesome. Awesome.
And, they're really good.
We've been together
yes.
for about 13 years.
Oh, that sounds like that's right in my wheelhouse. I'd be all over that.
Yeah. So, well, you know the club. You shall we have lunch, Jessica?
Mm-hmm. That would be fantastic. And believe it or not, we actually played your club. It wasn't for you. It was for a fundraiser that we did. But I guess it was about 2 years ago now, so we're familiar with the space. But
nice.
And we didn't blow the roof off, so that was good.
Okay.
Well, we'll be looking for you in The Boy from Oz. And thank you so much for taking time to be with us here electronically. We're going to move
so
on
much.
To
Thanks
the two gentlemen that we have. But thank you so much, and we appreciate your time on the air.
Talk soon, Jessica.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All righty.
Lovely.
I don't care for her.
I don't care for her. I thought I would, and then after talking to her,
it takes a while.
Edgy, unpleasant, surly. Well,
she thinks she's Liza Minnelli, for God's sake. You know,
what a doll! What a doll! She's a sweetheart.
She is. You can tell. And the sound of her voice gives a lot away, I think, about the character, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She seems very, very sweet and great notices.
She's got those Liza Minnelli eyes, that's for sure.
She definitely has the eyes, especially when she puts the eyelashes on. It's crazy.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Just the
eyelashes. She wears nothing else. Just the eyelashes.
Yes. But they're 4.5 feet long.
Blink. Blink.
Every time she blinks, it's a tease.
It's breezy in here. No, it's just her lashes. That's the old Borscht Belt joke. The doctor told me if I put this tonic on, my hair would come in heavy. Only one hair grew, but it weighed 12 pounds. Oh!
Oh, man.
Our next guest is delighted to call this role his USA theater debut. And I want to specify that this is his United States theater debut, his extensive theater resume in his native Australia. His TV and film credits include NCIS, Mistresses, and Ben Affleck's latest Warner Brothers feature, Live by Night, or is it Live by Night?
That's Live.
Live by Night, okay.
It always causes some confusion.
He has a unique history with Boy from Oz, but we're going to let him tell you about that himself. He's currently burning it down as the force of nature that was, is, and continues to be Peter Allen. Please welcome my newest paisan, Andrew Buongiorno. Andrew. How are you?
Paul, I'm great. Thanks for having me here.
So glad to have you here. So do tell the listeners about it. I read it in your bio, but I wasn't really sure that I got the details of it right, and I didn't want to screw it up. Your history with Mr. Enright and also the course of study that you're taking being similar to Mr. Jackman's. Can you share that?
Yeah, look, it was amazing when this came up. My manager contacted me and let me know that Celebration Theatre was doing The Boy from Oz. Was I interested? And I didn't even need to think. I'm like, yeah, of course. And my connection...
So you were back there when you were...
No, I was here in LA.
Oh, you were here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was in Chicago. I was in Chicago. When I say here, I think of the USA as here.
Okay.
because you're on the other side of the planet.
Exactly.
So that seems local to me, even if you're in Chicago.
It is.
The USA. You go somewhere and there you are.
Yeah, exactly. I'm here. I've arrived.
You were in Chicago, though.
I was in Chicago.
That's where Paul is heading.
Yep. That's where I'm moving.
That's where he's going.
Right. Where in Chicago?
I love Chicago.
And a great city, isn't it?
It's like it's a tuttling town. America.
I am also from Chicago. Thank you very much.
Are you?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Michael and I met here at this radio show, and then after we met at the radio show, we went on Facebook and realized that we have 6,000 friends in common.
It was
ridiculous. Yeah. It was literally over 100 people that we were friends in common.
I can't believe you've got 6,000 friends. I don't know what that's like.
Well, you know,
I'm very popular.
He has 6,000 friends. So you're here. You're in the States. You get this news, mm-hmm.
And I just think, well, I mean, the connection that I have. I mean, you were talking about the history between the paths that Hugh Jackman took and the paths that my career seems to have taken. We studied at the same acting school. Nick Enright was actually one of my acting teachers when I was there. Unfortunately, he was battling cancer, and he lost his battle about a year and a half later. Mm-hmm. He was such an amazing mind.
As a reminder to the listeners, Nick Enright was the book.
He wrote the original book mm-hmm. of original. The Boy from Oz, so okay. that's a very strong connection for me, and in fact I dedicate my performance to him. Wow. And his memory. I mean, he was the kind of person, for example, we had 18 people in our class, and we would be all there in a circle the first time we met him, and he'd ask everyone to say their name and a little bit about themselves, where they're from. And every single person would go around, and then when they were finished, he would repeat it back to them. Wow. Like a photographic memory. He had the most amazing mind.
Wow.
And so creative.
And did you get an opportunity to, you know, in that sort of academic environment, did you get an opportunity to talk about, did he talk about Boy from Oz freely? Did it not come up frequently? Or
It came up once. I asked him about it actually one day at lunch, and we were discussing it. And, you know, the original Australian production, the very first time it had been staged, Todd McKenney played the original Boy from Oz. And my very first professional credit out of acting school was working with Todd McKenney on Cabaret. We were just talking about Cabaret, and yeah, Todd.
The synchronicity of this is astonishing.
It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, there's so many connections, and of course, I'm from a small country town, just like Peter Allen was. I mean, there's so many connections. It's really quite strange.
I think the thing that really is the testament to the power of this, and I don't know, Michael, when you first saw it, if you knew immediately upon seeing it that it was something you wanted to direct, or if it
absolutely did it. Not.
Not at all.
I loved the show. I thought it was a great show. I got to see Mr. Jackman do it. I thought it was fantastic. But at that point in my life, I was just, I'm going to be an actor. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I directed a little bit in Chicago, but it never had, you know, dawned on me that I would ever, you know, direct musicals, let alone be the co-artistic director of a theater company. Okay. Those weren't my aspirations at the time. It sort of happened along the way, and I'm very glad that I get to direct this piece because it really is quite beautiful. And just to sort of follow his life and how much his journey affects people when they watch the show. Yeah. It's really quite
You know, wonderful. That was the point I was going to make, and I don't know, Michael, if you saw it, saw The Boy from Oz in some
I have not.
But it's very interesting to me that someone like Peter Allen, that you would think would be almost exclusively a... There's so many people that aren't real theater hounds might not even know the name. And the fact that the show was so universally embraced by all types is just a real, you know, he's one of these people in theatrical history that you don't realize how far the reach is until you learn his tale. Exactly. And then you find out about the songs he's written and with Olivia Newton-John's.
All of his music. Yeah, I mean, that's recognizable. I had the pleasure of seeing him star in Legs Diamond on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
Which,
really?
Unfortunately, the show was not a hit.
Not a hit at all.
But I liked him, so because I like him. So.
Well, I got to tell you, one of the things... And just doing research on Peter Allen, that's one of the things that attracted me to Andrew, because they're both so incredibly charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where there's not a huge physical resemblance of Andrew to Peter Allen, that energy and that verve and that sass is all there. Cool. So.
Well, did you get that, Andrew?
I did. Yeah, checks in the mail, Shep. Thank you.
As it always is.
It's just not in my mail.
What is your theatrical history in Australia, Andrew? Is it more leaning toward the musical? Is it more straight theater?
Yeah, I mean, before I studied at acting school, I did a lot of musicals. I did something close to a dozen musicals. The first musical I ever did was when I was 12 years old. It was The King and I. And then I went through all these classic musicals.
You were one of the great 12-year-old Anns.
Sure. You've seen the photos, haven't you?
I have.
It was hard for me to let you have that. But I saw you wanting it so bad, I just sat down.
I know.
Shall we dance?
If someone could have heard the side eye coming from over here.
My side eye is very loud.
So this got to be like going home then. I mean,
it's amazing. You know, well, I mean, to more accurately answer your question, it's been over a decade since the last time I did a musical. And so to go back to that and everything just sort of would fit in place. It was like riding a bike, just getting back on the bike and remembering all those techniques that I'd learnt. And it all just sort of fit together, and it's been an amazing journey.
I'm curious about the cultural differences, because a lot of people think because the languages that we speak are similar, that I found that when I went to London for a while, I was just like, well, we just speak a different type of English here, but we're all the same. And then all the sort of cultural changes. What is your experience in terms of a theatrical audience as far as how material is embraced? Is an Australian audience significantly different than an American audience?
I see what you mean. Yeah, look, I think when Martin Sherman had some influence on Nick Enright's book, I think that it made it more accessible to the American audiences. Certainly, I've seen a difference between the original production that I saw in Australia to what it is now, because it's become more accessible internationally. Yeah, I think so. But the thing that I've noticed, you know, living here in LA, just different expressions that you don't even think about as an Australian. You say it to someone and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. what language are you speaking?
Tell us a few. I mean, are they used in the show?
Well, I mean, actually, this is isn't
crikey.
This isn't an expression. Well, crikey, yeah, but everyone knows that because of Steve Irwin, I guess. But this isn't an expression, but it's a little story of when I first got here, and I love my red wine. So I'm at a restaurant, and
don't all Australians,
especially the Italian Australians,
yeah, like,
yeah. yeah. and I ordered a Merlot. Which we actually, in Australia, we pronounce it Merlot. So we put an emphasis on the different syllables.
Right.
And so I ordered a Merlot, and I got a Miller. I got a beer, and I'm like, well, that does not look like red wine to
wow.
me. Yeah, so it's just little things like that. You go, wow, I really have to change certain words that I say to make sure that people understand.
No, just somebody was really lazy.
Merlot, it's not that close.
Well, the same
Merlot.
Thing. The same thing happened
Miller.
When I was in London. The same thing
Schultz.
Happened.
Schultz,
yeah.
He got lost there. He couldn't come back.
I mean, the same thing. There's different similar, you know, things. Even in England, I lived in London for a couple of years, and I remember the first time I went to go and buy multivitamins, and what? I said, "Vitamins? Where are your vitamins?" And he's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Your vitamins?" And I'm like, oh, "What do the British pronounce? How do they pronounce vitamins?"
Vitamin.
And I said, "Oh, where are your vitamins?" And he goes, "Oh, they're right over there." And I'm like, "Was that difficult?
Right? You couldn't
really?
Figure that out?
Yeah.
It's the same."
Yeah.
I was waiting at Don Ross River Plaza, a restaurant in Chicago right by the thing, mm-hmm. and I got reprimanded by the waiter, by the manager, because we were serving prime ribs of beef, yes.
Yeah.
And I brought the au jus over, and an elderly gentleman at the table called the manager over, insisting that I had called him an old Jew. So I went over and was just like, au jus, to the thing. And he was, so I know from the mispronunciation.
But knowing you.
No.
There's another story I'd like to tell, but I won't.
Okay. Well, we'll save it for the end of this so you don't have to do your embarrassing one.
No, not on talk radio. I can't tell that story.
Well, Michael, would you tell the folks how they can get tickets to
Absolutely.
This thing?
Happy to do
realize
that.
Realize that we've been lax in that regard.
The Boy from Oz, ladies and gentlemen, with a book by Martin Sherman, original book by Nick Enright, as we just discovered with Andrew talking so kindly about him. Musical direction by Brian Blasky, who is wonderful, and choreography by the lovely Janet Rostin. Directed by our guest, Michael Shepard, opens Friday. Well, it's opened.
It's open.
Yes, it's open and it's running, and it opened on April 29th, and it will play through Sunday, June 19th. And let me tell you about the performances: Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., and this is at the Celebration Theater, 6760 Lexington Avenue in Los Angeles. Tickets are $45, and that's for reserve seating, and general seating is $40. And for tickets, simply call 323-957-1884 or visit celebrationtheater.com to purchase online or to view a complete schedule.
And we should also point out that Celebration Theater has the proper spelling, the R-E
English
spelling.
Yes.
The English spelling, the R-E, celebrationtheater.com. And as always, we will throw this information out there once or twice more before the end of our hour.
Yeah, so. And you know, before we get into speaking with Michael again, I want to do a little shout out for the Valley Performing Arts Center because they are opening for their very first. The Valley Performing Arts Center, which mm-hmm. you know, Michael, you probably don't know, Andrew, is one of our newest theater complexes here. And it's a mere $144 million theater.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Disney Concert Hall of the Valley.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. And it's in Northridge on the campus of Cal State Northridge there.
Okay.
And they have been a concert venue for the last few years and do personal appearances by such people as Shirley MacLaine, on Evening with Shirley, sitting in a chair talking about her life, these kinds of things. First musical.
Look at me.
Dream Girls.
Look at
really?
Me.
You're sounds finally so much like doing your one-man Dream Girls? Really?
Yes. And it comes
when does it
courtesy.
Open?
It opens tomorrow night.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just for three performances. And it is courtesy of Kathy Rigby and her husband, Tom McCoy. It is their production of Dream Girls, which will play Valley Performing Arts Center. And then it will go to Japan, actually, that
Holy
production.
Cow.
Yeah. But it's a must-see, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you especially out here in the San Fernando Valley. And having the opportunity to walk into that theater is breathless.
Yeah, I love it.
Breathtaking.
It's a straight – I love it because it's a straight shot up Reseda from my place in Tarzana. And
I think of any theater in Los Angeles, it has perhaps the most – perfect acoustics.
Yeah. We were lucky enough to get a tour of the place when they had first opened, and Michael was down by the stage, and I was in the back, all the way in the back row of the mezzanine, and just speaking conversationally, and you got every word. It was just really astonishing.
It's four stories, but it slopes up. You would never even get that sense when you're inside.
And that cast is amazing.
Really? Yes, Constance.
No. Angela.
Angela.
Angela Moy is playing the role of Effie.
Really? I'm thinking Constance from Sister Act. That's what she
did. Yes, Constance.
Jewel Lopez.
Jewel Lopez just did Sister Act.
Yes.
But she did Dreamgirls two seasons ago, I believe, or last. No, two seasons
for
ago.
For Doma Theater.
Yes.
Yes, that's it. Yes. All right. See, I wasn't far off.
I saw David Sedaris speak there.
Yes.
I did, and I saw Loudon Wainwright and Sean Colvin. And I performed there as well. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I do, yeah. Well, I juggle out front. But I feel like... Anyway. Michael, would you introduce the lovely and talented gentleman to my right?
I will.
Another Michael.
I think. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is currently the co-artistic director of Los Angeles' multiple award-winning Celebration
Theater. And Michael, if you like, you can just hum over this. Just go ahead, Michael.
Directing credits include The Next Fairy Tale, title of show, and numerous others in his 11-year career at the Celebration. As an actor in L.A., he has been featured in Fences, Booty Candy, and The Color Purple. His Broadway off-Broadway regional credits include Kathy Rigby is Peter Pan, Little Shop of Horrors, and Caroline or Change. You've seen him on television. I just saw him the other night in Soul Man.
Oh, my God.
Hot in Cleveland, Adoptable, The Wizards of Waverly Place, Monk, Criminal Minds in NCIS, but we're here today talking Oz. So will you please welcome director, the lovely and oh so talented Mr. Michael Shepard.
Yeah, baby. I've got to apologize to Michael. I've never done that to him before in 6 years of shows. Just basically told the guest to pimp him while he was reading.
This is your penultimate show.
That's it. And did
I had penultimate, but a little penicillin cleared it
and
right
I
up.
Did not miss a beat.
You didn't. You were right there. And I love the sort of little quasi theatrical rap.
A little underscore.
I do what I can.
You're one of those rapists.
Right? I am, with two P's, because the other way doesn't work so well for me.
So, here you are.
Hello,
how
gentlemen.
Do you like, this is a new space for you.
It is a brand new space. We moved in last July.
How many shows in this new one?
Three. This is our third show of the season.
All right.
And it's just been a very big learning curve, just trying to figure out how to work the space, what doesn't work in the space, what does work in the space, you know, how to make the air conditioning work, things like that.
Right, like any small theater trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
Now, how big was the older space, Michael, before you moved to
We had 71 seats in the other space, and this one is 55.
Okay, so not a significant difference.
No, but the size of the... stage is smaller.
Okay.
Size of the stage is smaller, as well as we had a rehearsal room and backstage space and two dressing rooms.
Oh, okay.
You know, and we had a prop, you know, shelf, and we had a
at the Hollywood
shop
location.
Yeah. In the
Santa Monica
location. And this, we have one dressing room, one cast bathroom, one audience bathroom. And
so what are
a
you,
lobby.
What the hell are you thinking with Boy from Oz? Do Godot.
I drink. And I dream it? Big.
Is that what we're calling it now?
He's definitely a dream girl.
But really, that's just, I mean, I just love that for a number of reasons. One is just the pure theatrical audacity of that. And I mean audacity in the best sense of the word. But also the fact that it's the opportunity for people for, what was it, $45, $40 for the general admission,
right,
to see a musical of this scope and depth with performers like this. And it's just such a gift that you're giving the community. It's so much easier to play it safe. It's so much easier to do, you know, my one-man show of one guy sitting in a field at night talking, you know.
While shucking corn. Loved that performance, by the way.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Well, they said I was a fool to dream.
Well.
But anyway.
Look who's laughing now.
Corn shucker, a true story. Yes.
I'm going to do the black version, just call it corner. was going to say shucker, but it just no.
There's a way around. Yeah, no. There's a way
be
around.
Be careful with that too. Yeah.
What do you when you see how this show is going over this The Boy from Oz and the people just go online, Google it, look at the reviews. We're not going to. There's no need for us to waste the time praising it to the skies here because you can find that on the interweb. But do you find yourself thinking about other theatrical challenges? Other, I mean, in terms of scope and the challenge of fitting it in a space like that. Or is that a factor in what you choose for your season?
Well, we are very my co-artist director Michael Matthews, who is an amazing director.
Yes, he is
in of himself. When we sit down to choose a season, we really start with looking. We actually read the mission statement first, just so that we actually we believe it. We know what we have to do to present. To, you know, and we want to start taking risks. I mean, our season this year, our first show of the season was Booty Candy. Which was this irreverent piece that was unapologetically black and queer. Our second piece was Dream Boy, this sort of Southern Gothic ghost story, and now The Boy from Oz. You know, we really wanted to challenge ourselves as well as challenge our audiences, and it seems to be working. You know.
Well, because yeah, you're taking risks.
The comments that I've been getting from very generous audience members is that the advantage of a space like this is that you get to see into the performer's eyes. Mm-hmm. And what Jessica was saying earlier about Shep telling us, just tell the truth. The audience can see that. And it's a great opportunity for them to feel like this show is really just intimately for them as they sit there individually, one
right.
by one.
You Which know. You would never get with a musical of this scope. Because,
oh, not
you
in
know.
A 2,000 seat theater. You're sitting up the back. You don't know what their eyes
are. Right, yeah. Right. It makes it a far different production and a far different experience for the theater goer. Mm.
Yeah. Michael, what was the casting call like for this show? Was there a huge response from the community?
Yes and no. We had quite a few people who came out, but it was the difficulty came in casting of two roles, actually, Peter and young Peter. It was very hard to find the right person to play the Peter Allen character. And we had some people who were very close and absolutely wonderful and amazing. But it's like, you know, whether it's what, you know, my big thing is when I direct from my gut. You know, my gut tells me what to do. I can sit for hours and hours and hours and try to pre-plan something, but I go, oh, this is the arc. I know what to do. Let me see what the voices of my actors bring to that. And I wasn't hearing the voice that I needed to hear for Peter. And then I met Mr. you know, Andrew here, and it was like, oh, there it is. Right. I hear it
so
now.
So you knew right away.
Yeah. 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 Plus, he's really, really, really easy on the eyes. Really easy on the eyes. And he... ride that Bronco and put it away wet. And so, you know, and, you know, he appears in his underwear just to take a tail off.
But he didn't. You didn't hear that here.
You didn't hear that here.
A spoiler alert.
Oddly enough, that's in the lobby before the show, which I think is
No, that's me in the lobby before the show. Oh, okay. They've already bought their tickets. There's nothing they can do but look now.
Pre-show entertainment.
So, you know, so in finding that, and then...
The boy from...
Oh, now we know where that word comes from.
That's A-H apostrophe S. Yes.
Exactly. Also the black version. Oz. That's my eye roll. Also, in finding a young lady, Michaela Brown, who's playing the young Peter role, and I saw Michaela do Tommy at East West Players, and we were having problems casting that role. I went, what about the little girl and Tommy? And Janet Rostin, our amazing choreographer, was like, she had done the choreography for Tommy. He goes, I can call her right now. And it, the best thing about it is that no one said, well, she's Asian. Everybody went, oh, absolutely, she's right for this role. Let's get her in now. And we auditioned her, and she was perfect. And it was just like...
But what about... Is the gender thing also a theatrical choice of yours? Or is it
just written? Happened that this Michaela Brown was the exact right person for that role and wow. brought that. And I was like... And there was one naysayer who said, well, do you think people are going to question? I was like, I don't care. Because, huh? You know...
I remember the first dress rehearsal and seeing her... dressed as a boy, and I was like, I didn't know Michaela had a brother. It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. That's astonishing. And again, once again, it just, it speaks to the risk-taking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stuff like this that just...
And without not to sound political, but without the 99th seed plan, this show could never have happened with a cast of 12 and four band members.
It's not a political statement. It's a statement of fact.
No, it's a statement of fact, actually. Mm-hmm. And it just never could have happened.
Well,
it never could have happened. And I'm grateful for as long as it's here.
Well said.
That's going to be quite a
everything
challenge.
That I've ever seen at this man's theater and the Celebration Theater has always been of such high quality and so thoughtful and so creative. And, you know, as we said, challenging in a space that they made work there. Obviously, you're making it work where you are now. And we'll continue to do that.
And do you still have Jamie Rudofsky as your working
Jamie
with
Jamie Rudofsky is our amazing casting director.
She's wonderful.
She's wonderful.
Jamie, casting director there, cast a short film that I wrote, which actually one of the reasons I won't be here toward the end of the month is because we're in another festival back east that we're going back to with this short film.
Because you're amazing.
Yeah, but it's not about me.
I'll make it about you because, Paul... we're going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you too. We're not even going to go there.
Yeah.
So, what's up on the dance card at Celebration?
Yeah.
Anything left for this season? Any thoughts for next year?
Are you scoops allowed to talk here? About?
I can't give a scoop about next season.
Can you kind of allude to it?
I'll do my one man show. Just come out and ask.
Well, it'd be the late night to my one man dream girls.
Yes, mine's called Cats. It's a one man cats.
Yes.
But it's spelled different. It's K-A-T-Z. It's a lone...
It's the Borscht Belt
A lone delicatessen owner who has different lunch meats that sing songs.
That was the old Celebration, though, I think. I'll let that one go. I can't tell you what it is, but I...
Poor Frank.
But here's this season seems like it's going to turn out to be a real drag.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And while you all think of that, we'll pick a winner.
No.
Actually, I played the wrong thing. I thought that was my Jeopardy music, and I was going bum bum.
Oh
bum,
no
bum.
No!
But
no,
it was my Wheel of Fortune.
And can I say this? If your listeners want to see The Boy from Oz,
and
we are selling. We're sold out this weekend. We're almost sold out next weekend.
Wow!
And that is sort of unheard of in the 99 seat theater world. But we are selling like crazy. But we are doing an offer for all remaining tickets for this month. If you go to celebrationtheater.com and use the code RAINBOW, you'll get 10% off your tickets.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. And that's and just remind us of the schedule. I'm trying to find – there it is. Okay. So it's Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2. This is at the Celebration Theater, 6760 Lexington Avenue in Los Angeles. Tickets, Celebration Theater with the RE spelling, or call 323-957-1884. And once again, Michael, it's RAINBOW is the code.
RAINBOW.
All lowercase? Case sensitive? Probably.
You know, in this culture, yes, I'm sure it's very sensitive.
Even over the telephone.
Yes. Yes. Try it lowercase. If it doesn't work, try it title
very
case.
Softly over the telephone.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's like that martini joke. You know the joke about the guy with the dry martini?
No, but I have a feeling we're going to hear it.
I'll tell you. I can do it in 30 seconds. Guy goes into a bar, says, I want a dry martini. The guy just reaches over for the mirror. He goes, no, dry martini. He goes, no. All you do is just whisper the word vermouth over the glass. Just say vermouth. The bartender goes, vermouth. The guy goes, not so loud. Anyone? Anyone? Wow.
And how's your day, audience?
It's that time, Michael.
Man.
We're coming up on that time.
Yes, when we have to baptize these young men. And Michael's done it before, but Andrew has not. So we'll start with Andrew.
Be gentle.
One of you. We will. Embarrassing moment. Awkward story from anything. Anything you've ever done.
I was trying so hard not to tell this.
Theatrical tale of woe.
Yeah.
It is a theatrical tale of woe. Early in my career, many years ago, I was hosting for the Wiggles, doing Wiggles shows.
Mashed banana.
Hey, mashed potato. Okay,
yeah. My kids are older now. I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh.
Anyway, in the words of my character, Peter Allen, from the show, it does not go further than these walls. No, I was actually getting a bit silly backstage with Dorothy the dinosaur costume and didn't realize how soon I had to be on stage. And I got the feet of Dorothy the dinosaur stuck one of them, not both of them. I managed to get one of them off, but the other one was so tight I couldn't get the damn thing off. So we had to go on stage. I just had to, you know, the show must go on.
Oh.
So I'm on stage with this dinosaur foot.
It's one dinosaur
trying
foot.
To think of an improvisation way of right. explaining to these little tiny children, you know, 6 and 7 year olds, why I'm wearing Dorothy the dinosaur's foot and what happened to her foot. It was
well, that's just it. Is one foot in bad shape or is the yeah. other foot just missing?
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's a, you are what you eat. Apparently, I'm becoming a dinosaur.
Yeah. Oh. I got nothing.
You got nothing.
I love stuff like that because it. I love it only. I mean, I love anything that goes wrong. There's nothing funnier than when something goes wrong on stage. But when screwing around backstage bites you in the ass.
Oh, no. When it actually just comes like, onto the stage.
When people just yeah. go, hey, what yeah. happened? Well, yeah. I was screwing around.
What do you know? I was screwing around.
Okay. What do you got?
Okay, so this just reminded me of a story about screwing around backstage. I was doing a show in Florida. I was doing Five Guys Named Mo, and we were the show that was going out as we were rehearsing was Beehive. And one day we would have rehearsals during the day, then Beehive would come and do their show at night. Well, one day we didn't know that the cast of Beehive was coming in early, and me and three of the other members from the Five Guys MO had decided to put on their costumes.
Oh, oh no.
And the green shimmy dresses that they wore with the numbers. And we are sitting there taking pictures of ourselves, of which I will post on Facebook today because I still have them. And the cast walked in.
Oh,
it
man.
Was not a
oh,
pretty day.
Oh, my gosh.
Because not only had we touched their costumes, we were wearing
you were
their
wearing
sweaty,
them.
You know, four very large black men squeezed into these little
tight dresses. Well, see, Michael, this is what I wanted to bring up, and I have to phrase this delicately, so bear with me on this. But I think it's a safe assumption to anyone who knows you that you're not exactly a diminutive little flower.
I am
you're
not
6'5"?
I'm 6'6".
You're 6'6". Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm the only 6'2" person that has a Napoleonic complex. Because you walk in and I just feel like, you know, just Cinderella. But so I'm just, it's nothing against you, but who was doing Beehive that had a costume that would work for you?
Well, when you don't zip up the back.
Okay, gotcha.
And you sort of like wear it. See, I've been known to slip into very tight things.
Okay. Haven't we all?
I think the moral of these stories is don't do that. You're going to get caught.
Or do it because then you get these stories.
Well, they,
so what? So just apoplectic? Just went batshit?
Oh,
it was
horrible. Yeah. It was horrible. Yeah. It was absolutely horrible.
And those girls had to go on and do a show.
Yeah, they were. And particularly they're like, you've ruined our lives and everything. It's like, well, yeah.
I think I've got
great pictures, though. Thanks.
The funniest thing about this story is not that it took place and not that they got angry. The funniest scenario to think of is this man being militantly scolded by a woman while he's wearing a green shimmy dress and actively trying to sort of get it off and apologize.
I wasn't actually trying to get it off. I actually enjoyed it. It felt really good. It was green, which I didn't know was my color until right then.
That's how green works for you, doesn't
green
it?
Green works for me.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Brings out the brown in my eyes.
We have been talking to two of the stars and the director of The Boy from Oz. This is going up at the Lex Theater, or the Celebration Theater.
Theater at the Lex.
At the Lex is a great way. Okay, say it properly. Celebration Theater at the Lex at 6760 Lexington Avenue. And my lovely co-host, Michael Sterling, is going to tell you one last time how to get tickets for this thing.
And this is, of course, performance is going through Sunday, June 19th, Fridays and Saturdays. Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 8 p.m. And $45, that is for reserved seating, $40 for general seating. You're seeing the West Coast premiere of this show, ladies and gentlemen, The Boy from Oz. For tickets, please call 323-957-1884 or visit them online at celebrationtheater.com. And to purchase tickets that way, very simple. You've all got it in your hands. You can do it. And mention that...
Rainbow,
but backwards without vowels.
No. You get a discount on the ticket.
Just Rainbow. Yes. And lest we forget, the lovely woman who kicked off the hour for us, Jessica
Bennington,
who called in.
We're having lunch.
Undercover Girls may have a... performance at Sterling's upstairs at the
possible.
Federal.
Very possible.
Gentlemen, a pleasure. Frank.
Thank you, Andrew.
Very quiet studio guest here. We're happy to have him with us today. And safe travels back to Australia for you, Frank.
Frank, when are you going back to Australia?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Wow.
Frank is Andrew's dad.
Comes all the way across the globe to see his son perform. And that's a dedication that a lot of performers would love to have.
I'm very lucky to have that support.
And when did you get here, Frank, real quick? How long?
Monday.
So it's a short trip for you.
Flip it around.
Well, welcome and don't be a stranger. Come back.
Yeah. Thank you. Please do. Gentlemen, a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Nice seeing you.
Happy anniversary, Hutch.
Yes. And we will see you next week from the show will continue, but my final broadcast.
Yeah.
So see you next week.
It's been real. See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.